T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Conservative.
What I don't like about Washington is they're very nice to your face, and then they take a shiv or a machete and they stab it in your back. I'm a Wall Street guy, and I'm more of a front stabbing person, and I'd rather tell people directly how I feel about them.
Nobody talk about politics, like, don't say anything, you know.
A marriage that's been through it all.
She has filed for divorce over his naked political ambition.
These are the views of a couple in love, a couple with children, a couple with differing opinions and perspectives. A couple that survived.
He's kind of like an impetuous guy. In many ways, that's great. In some ways, it's tough when you're married.
What leads them back to each other? Communication, conversation, and a realistic outlook on the world we live in. Your hosts, Anthony and Deirdre Scaramucci. This is Mooch and the Missus.
Live from sunny LA. We just hung out on our balcony and got some vitamin D before we came over here.
Fantastic weather in LA. California is addictive.
Anthony's super tan. He looks like, what's the guy?
Uh-oh. It's going to be bad.
You don't remember? You don't know who I'm
George
talking
Hamilton.
About?
George She's Hamilton. She's trying to say I'm the George Hamilton of podcasts. Look at her.
If
She's
only you could
on
see him. If only there was a live feed.
This is glow. I put a little bit of olive oil on. I got out on the balcony, and then anything could happen.
But
right?
You know what? Jet it black. Just goes to show you he is a little bit older than me. I'm wearing a tank top in the AC, and he's got on a thermal.
Oh, my God. The cutting.
But it's all good, peeps.
One minute into the podcast, the chainsaw comes out, okay?
All right. Well, we have a lot to talk about today. It's been kind of a sad week, a little bit tumultuous and a little bit melancholy. So we have a lot to talk about with that. And here we go. So what do you want to talk about first? Let's address the Pittsburgh shooting. That was a big deal. This world has turned upside down. You go to your place of worship and you are you're at stake, and you're worshiping your God and you're shot.
Listen, it's an unspeakable tragedy, and obviously I'll say this on behalf of Deirdre and myself. Our hearts go out to the people who unfortunately lost their lives.
Right,
and
but
now
we have
their
to
families
think about
have
this.
To...
Like, this is not somebody else. You know what I mean? Growing up, you hear stuff on the news. I remember I used to watch Peter Jennings, 6 p.m., World News Tonight. And to me, it was like, okay, I'm eating my Elio's pizza, and I don't know where that is, but I'm 9, and it doesn't affect me. But that's not how it is anymore. This is our country. This is our community. These are our people. This is our family. This could happen to anybody, anywhere. And unfortunately, every time I go to the mall, anytime I go to the movies, I think about this stuff, especially if I have our kids with us, because nobody is safe anymore, which is a sad way to live, but it's the God's honest truth.
Well, I agree with all that, and I want to focus more on the tragedy and less on the politicization of the tragedy.
Oh, I'm not politicizing this.
Not you. I'm saying that what I'm watching on television is the he said, she said, or the he said, or she said about what happened and finger-pointing at different politicians. It's not politicians.
Yeah, we need to cut that out.
This is a systemic problem in the country. Mm-hmm. There's a level of hatred that is boiled over. Some of it is social media related. You and I were at the Bill Maher show on Friday here in L.A., mm-hmm. and Jonathan Haidt, the professor from NYU, was talking
about how
social media has proliferated this level of inimical hatred. Mm-hmm. But for me, you know, I'm very close to Israel. I am very pro-Jewish rights and the protection of the Semitic people. There's a number of different reasons why, but primarily, you know, I grew up in a Jewish area, and I cite in my new book, The Blue Collar President, that Cynthia Magazine, my friend's mother, who was very, very big on studying, very big on making sure that we did our homework before we did anything else, I think she basically turned me into the academic that I am. I would have never gotten into Harvard Law School if I had not been part of that Judeo-Christian, somewhat Talmudic experience where she was forcing us to study. Of course, she had a big Entenmann's pound cake. You know, we probably ate like probably ate four Entenmann's pound cakes while we were studying at our kitchen table. But the truth of the matter is that, you know, I've been to Israel many times, and I recognize that if you really believe in Western culture and you believe in the liberties of the West, we have to protect the biggest minority in Western culture, and that is the individual. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, the individual is the one whose rights need to be protected. If you think about autocracies, it's the individual that loses their ability to express themselves, whether it's in China, Russia, other places. The Jewish people are representative of that. So we have to really be out there protecting them.
Just a worry about life in general with this stuff. You know, we're not going to go into gun reform and all that because we all know how everyone feels about that and differs on that. But I just worry that we're being desensitized by all of this because every week, like, that's the point I was trying to make about it's not somebody else, it's not somewhere else. It's us, and it's here, and it's happening. And we're totally desensitized by it because it happens on a weekly basis. I read that there was, like, a shooting in North Carolina at a high school. There was a case of bullying, and somebody lost their 15-year-old son. And I think we're just so used to it. We just read it, and we keep on moving. And I just am so saddened by it, and I just think it's very sad. So I don't think it should be a political thing. I think it's a human thing. I think people need to come together.
Couldn't agree more. Very, very, very tragic. And at the end of the day, when we see things like this, we have to step back and think of
our families.
Our children. Yeah. We've got to figure out a way to dial back this rhetoric and dial back this hatred. It's totally and completely unnecessary.
And P.S., it's not political. There's stuff that's totally political. This is not political. You know what I mean? This is not.
This is mental illness,
right.
And this is rage and hatred for no reason.
Correct.
We're you know, top story, obviously the synagogue shooting, but also this pipe bomb situation is another disaster. I mean, let me ask you this question. Do you think the political rhetoric of the president and others is to blame for this total nut job?
Well, I don't think it's to blame for this specific incident. However, it is obviously heat that the mentally ill person tied it into politics. So that's why it's getting a little more of a play and run on that. But I don't think it's tied to policy or politics. But I do think that we're at a fever pitch, an all-time high with this kind of rhetoric, and he said and she said and this side and that side and blue and red. And I think we have to really call upon the leaders of the world, especially our country, to calm down so that people aren't as they don't feel as fortified to do something like this. When you see that guy's van, you're like, okay, he's hearing all of this stuff and he's feeling like he has the right and the entitlement to go out and do this, and he does not.
Some have accused the president's rhetoric. Some have basically said the president's rough rhetoric, a lot of the tone that he's taken in certain situations.
I think sometimes it does impact people.
The president's blaming fake news media, and other people are blaming the president's rhetoric, and where do you sit on that?
Okay, well, just explain to me how the media... I understand the media has a job to do, so they boost things up and they make it a little more dramatic than it probably is, and they spin words. And I mean, I saw it with you last week. You said something and they completely blew it out of proportion. And I was like, this is ridiculous.
No, they said that I said that the president was a liar.
Right.
And if you watched the tape, that's not what I was trying to say.
And it's, so that's what they kind of do. And I understand their whole angle and on that. But I do believe that if he was a little more kind and gentle in his speech and his rhetoric, it wouldn't make people feel as legitimized and as fortified to do things.
Okay, so, you know, I talked to him on Sunday after my Bill Maher and Jake Tapper appearance, and the president was basically like, listen, you don't understand the hatred that they have for me. And without fighting back and just citing people back to 2006, After the midterm elections, President Bush said, no mas, not fighting back, and they've rolled him so hard that they rolled him out of office. And many people think that that was the main reason why John McCain, Senator McCain, had such a hard time in the 2008 election, that there wasn't a fight back from the Republican Party related to what the media was doing to George W. Bush. And so the president's take is, I've got to fight back. I have no choice but to fight back. Your
okay,
take is what?
Okay, but there's a way to fight back. There's a way to fight back with poise and with purpose, not with just slander and nonsense. And I think it's, both sides have to cool it. You know, like when our kids get crazy and they're both like pushing each other, and I know, like, obviously they're both to blame. It's not one side, it's not the other side. Everybody needs to cool it down. And we need to do so for the sake of the country. We are literally at an all-time high of hate, of slander, of just craziness, and we
what
need
about on
to
your
calm
Twitter
down.
Feed, Mrs. Mochi? Get a mm-hmm. lot of hate on your Twitter
I
feed?
I do. And that's why I was thinking about it the other day. Somebody said something nice, and I was saying thank you to them for saying something nice. And that's outrageous that I have to think that that's a one-off thing that somebody says. And I don't need anyone to say anything nice to me 24/7. I'm just saying it's a little bit imbalance with the not nice stuff versus the nice stuff. So when the nice stuff comes in, you say, oh, thanks.
Jonathan Haidt, the professor on Bill Maher, mm-hmm. said that one of the issues with social media is that there's so many anonymous haters and trollers that it's lowered the self-esteem of a lot of teenagers and a lot of young people. It's probably impacting adults as well. Do you agree with that?
I do. And I think that the more time we spend on these things, it dulls you out. It makes your brain like numb, like you had sort of like Novocaine into your, you know, neuroscience in your head. And I know I feel it. And I actually see it in our kids. Like when our 4-year-old Nicholas spends too much time on the phone, he's like moody and kind of like irritable. And he's not getting incoming hatred from anybody on a Twitter feed. But if he's playing something like Tetris too long, he's like a different kid. And I think it affects everybody. And I think we all need to scale back on that, kind of get more involved with the humans in our lives. And I feel like people will be happier. And I know it sounds like sound bites, but I really do believe that. That's why half my friends get mad at me because I don't respond to them right away. But I hate my phone. You know, I don't pay attention to it.
At what point, though, would you take a social media threat seriously? Because I'll tell a quick story.
I don't know. We've had some serious ones, like they want to set our kids on fire and stuff like that.
Well, yeah, somebody said that they wanted to set one of our kids on fire. I was working in the White House, again, for a short period of time, but I turned it over to the FBI, and they were like, okay, we have to take this seriously. And then they obviously got the point of origination of the tweet, and they descended on this person's house, and they knocked on the door, pulled the person out of the house, and started questioning him. It turned out it was a 70-year-old person. I'm not going to say male or woman, but they basically were upset with the president's policies, and decided that they were going to invict that on me by saying that they were going to boil one of my children.
Right.
So,
well, half the time you hope it's like that kind of thing, like when our kids say,
normal?
Oh, I hate you, yeah, because they're mad at us that we didn't buy the toy. But sometimes you don't know.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Not to make such a hard transition, but I'm just curious to know what you think, because you've done a lot of reading. And I was saying to you this morning on the plane that I'm not a constitutional scholar by any means. So a lot of this is a learning process for me. But the whole thing about the birthright citizenship, there are many things that I totally get what Trump is saying. And then there are some things that I, you know, my heart goes out to people that are looking for a safe place or for asylum. So what do you think about this? And do you think this is actually something that could actually go down in the Trump administration?
Well, I mean, I think the great news about the Constitution and the way the thing's set up is that it would take a monumental number of people to allow something like that to go down. It's not something that the president can actually direct himself.
But you know what's crazy about this? This is like the Bible, because there's room for interpretation. You know, so it's like, okay, this person who's very, very credible and very smart thinks it reads this way, and then there's someone who's equally as intelligent who says no, it reads this way. So it's definitely up for debate. This should be interesting. This is where like the Supreme Court really comes into play, and nominations are key, because whoever's sitting on the court is going to determine the fate of this.
No question. But if you are a believer in the status quo, then you actually want originalists on the court, because the original interpretation of the Constitution, you have to remember the founders, many of which were not born in the United States, but they had moved to the United States and made it their land and eventually made it their nation, believed in the whole birthright concept. And moreover, if you think about the idea of liberty and you think about the concept of America, and what's so wonderful about America that people have to remember is that we can attract people from all over the world. So we have a 7 billion person supply of human capital to bring to the United States. In 5 short years, you can be in a Chinese American, you can be an Italian American, but you cannot do that by going to China. You can't be an American Chinese.
No, it's never reverse. Like, they don't, it's so, not the same sort of evolution, yeah, not a, the same sort
there's
of
a blood. There's a blood concept. There's an or la sangre mia blood concept to their citizenship. But in the United States, it's an idea. It's a safe haven. It was a land for religious protection. It was a land for freedom of expression.
But at some point, we do need to somehow manage it. It's a managing thing, you know? No. Because Trump always says, if we don't have borders, we don't have a country. And I understand what he's saying. So we're the land of acceptance and the land of, you know, empathy and heart. But you can't do that for everybody, or else it, you don't have a country anymore.
I'll use the word anchor baby. Excuse me. I'll use the word anchor baby.
Yeah, well, I mean, he says that in that context because he feels
words
that the system is being manipulated.
Make people feel badly, you know, when you start using those catchphrases and those kinds of things. And he's married to somebody who her parents, they recently got citizenship. So that's chain what do you call it?
Chain immigration.
Chain immigration.
But here's the point. You're asking me a question. It's interesting because we're on the plane coming out in preparation for the podcast. I turn to you. I say, what do you think? And you're like, well, I see the president's point. I'm thinking here as a person that's read the Constitution, took constitutional law, and I'm a little bit of a nerd, read a lot about the Constitution.
I'm thinking
is the wrong way to go. We have to figure out a different way to do this. If the president is basically saying that someone's manipulating the system, let's come up with a way to prevent them from manipulating the system. Having said that, I want people that are born in the United States to be endowed with the rights of the United States, and the idea, more important than anything else, is the idea of the United States. Lincoln called it the last best hope for mankind for a reason. He understood that while we were flawed, and he was dealing with slavery, he understood that we were a land of progress and we were a land that could make things go better for other people. And so, but let's transition to the caravan, because I think this is an interesting point.
I feel like we're being so humdrum.
Okay, well, you made this point.
Well, let's talk about the fact that we flew here this morning, right?
Yeah.
And then we're flying home for Halloween because our kids are like waiting in their Incredibles costume.
Right. Well, no, that's your little
I'm glad this isn't a TV show.
No, your little 4-year old Nick is saying to himself, you know, I may be the Incredible Dash. I may be the cat guy from PJ Masks.
He's asking us last night, who's faster? This is going to determine who he's going to be for Halloween. Who's faster, Catboy from PJ Masks?
Right.
Or Dash from The Incredibles. And he's going through this whole set of rationale about why he should be Catboy, you know? So,
so what do you think he's going to be? Because I have him as Catboy.
I think he's going to go with Catboy.
Yeah, 100% yeah. Catboy at this point.
Yep. And everyone listening to this probably knows
who Catboy
is.
Unless I can bribe him with some kind of toys or something like that. So,
well, whatever. Just, you and I are going to be The Incredibles.
All, now that we're just like ridiculously off politics, we're saying, let me just explain to you our different parenting styles. I believe in bribery. And threatening. and Deirdre obviously doesn't believe in that. She's read some parenting books.
Yeah. Well, we'll see how our kids turn out. Hopefully we're still doing this podcast in 15 years, and I'll let you know if they're absolute tyrants or they're actually good people.
If we're doing this podcast in 15 years, I'm going from 5'8 to 4'11, and I'll be going as Yoda at that Halloween party 15 years
from now. Oh, my God. You won't even have to dress up. You'll have fun.
Have my little
gray skin and, like, wiry hairs coming out.
And for embarrassing myself even further, there are very sharp copper wires coming out of my ears right now at
my age. No, not at this point in your life.
It's bad.
But then, and you know what? I will be, like, I'll still be, like, svelte and, like, Wonder Woman.
Yeah. Give it to me. Give it to me. All right, so now, I want to abrupt segue, because that's what we love to do on this podcast.
Well, I mean, this is about Halloween also. The Megyn, I have been thinking so much about this Megyn Kelly commentary firing debacle.
So what do you think?
I think that we have taken it to a whole new level of hypersensitivity.
It's crazy, right?
Yeah.
Can't say anything.
Because people are going to go nuts on us right now, or nuts on me. But I honestly think she was just talking about back in the day, and she was saying, like, I remember my brother, I don't know, I was like 5, so he's 7 years older than me, he was like 12.
Be careful, the podcast is doing like very
well. No, this is not anything.
If you throw a microaggression out there right now, all of a sudden we're blown from the podcast universe. We won't have any listeners.
No, so I was 5, he was 12.
I don't want you to tone it down, tone it up.
All right, I was
a jet. As the president says, I'm not toning down my rhetoric. I'm toning it up.
That he says.
Toning it up.
That he's doing.
Tone it up. Okay, say it. Megyn Kelly should have been fired or not.
Okay, I'm telling a story.
Go ahead.
Focus. So I was the Jack in the Box. My dad was very crafty, so he made me the Jack in the Box, and I looked so cute. So cute. I wish we had pictures to show. But my brother was 12, and he's obviously a white dude from, you know, the suburbs, and he was obsessed with Michael Jackson. Obsessed. So much so that when I broke my leg that same year, he signed my cast, Michael Jackson. He was, like, living in an alternate universe, you know? So he was Michael Jackson that Halloween. But he didn't color his skin. He just wore like a glittery glove and glittery socks and that whole thing.
So if he colored his skin, that would have been a no-no?
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like back in the day, if he did that and he was 12 and, you know, it's 1986 or something like that, he was a humongous fan of the guy. He wasn't saying anything or doing anything negative or nefarious. He was like loving the guy.
Let me ask you this. It's a business question.
I think she was just saying that she did that back in the day.
Different reason. Like, I didn't get fired.
Well, I didn't get fired
for the phone call. It got blamed on the phone call. I got fired because of the hierarchy, and, you know, it was time for me to go because I couldn't. There was no way.
No,
my
I think she got fired because she has a 69 million. Okay, unless you're literally saving lives and you're doing open heart or brain surgery on young children every day throughout the globe, who the heck is getting paid $69 million to do anything? To talk for an hour on NBC in the morning? That's ridiculous.
A lot of people get paid a lot of money.
But that is what's wrong with this world. Who the heck is getting paid?
I was just asking about Megyn Kelly. We're now making this whole big statement about the world.
I'm just saying, Matt Lauer, you know, that might have been a reason they found all this stuff to try to use against him. Megyn Kelly, those are ludicrous numbers to be paying someone to talk fluff on NBC at 10 a.m. for an hour.
Let's say I say something, I tweet something inappropriate. I am Roseanne Barr. Let's say I say something inappropriate on this podcast, or I do a malaprop on television.
It could happen.
And so then, boom, you're dead, done.
I don't think that should be.
Life over.
That should not be.
Okay, so why is it going to that extreme?
We're fallible. We're humans. People say things. People do things. people are so ridiculously sensitive. Everybody needs to stop.
The men listening to this podcast knows that she's talking over me right now, which is totally fine. But like, let me just ask you this.
You talk over everybody.
Why is it
I don't
so...
even know. Like, half the time I hear you on the phone with people, I always say to him, let them talk. I'm whispering underneath my breath because he's just pile driving over the person. I'm like, who the hell is going to talk to this guy again?
You know what's upsetting?
He doesn't
right
even
now?
Hear one thing they're saying.
Give people some corporate advice. If you're going to hire your wife's best friend to be your assistant, at points in your life, it's going to be 2-on-1. Okay, we have the assistant right here, live in the recording booth right now, shaking her head, egging the other blonde
no,
on.
No, she just knows that you talk over.
Sammy, go ahead, egg her on. But you're not even listening. Let me ask you the question. Are we going
to
stop with the capital and professional punishment for microaggression?
We need to. It's not even fun to live.
I get sexual predation. I got that.
Well, that's different.
I get that.
But it's not even fun to live anymore. You can't even talk.
I just said a malaprop. I can't. I'm done?
No, that should not. This world is not even fun to live in anymore because you can't say anything. I got a notice from Nick's school that said, don't wear this, don't wear that, don't wear Moana, don't wear... Like, come on! Like,
you can't
Moana?
He
loves that movie. So if he wanted to be Maui from Moana, he can't be Maui from Moana because who is that offending?
Because it's racist to be Maui, though?
He likes the movie Moana. I don't know. I'm just saying, everybody is so... over the top. It's so crazy. I don't know how it started, when it started, why it started, where it started, but I hope at some point it ends.
I think Megyn Kelly,
I don't know. Let me ask you
this, and please tweet at Mooch and the Misses. Who do you think gets blown off the air first? The Mooch, due to microaggressions, or the Misses? Who do you think gets crushed from the air?
I don't know.
Flattened like a pancake.
It could be me.
So I maintain that it's going to be hard to knock... my you know
hard.
What it's gonna be very hard to knock me out because I'm so ridiculous anyways at this point. The brand is part of that. It's like
right.
ridiculousness.
The bar is really low on the Mooch.
Oh my god
like, by the way, we just ate these tea cakes in the other room. Lorraine
jumping.
From KNX brought them in for us, 1,000 calories a piece, and
jumping.
Anthony's assistant and my friend, my dearie Sammy, just texted me that she has icing on her sweatshirt because we ate 15 of them
before
we came
in. Okay, I have icing on my nose and I have my blood sugars at 350. Could you please call like a diabetic endocrinologist? Go to the midterms, girl. What's going to happen in the midterms?
I'm just hoping that they'll be over soon. I can't deal with them anymore. Honestly, I don't necessarily follow these local or state-by-state races. I'm not that big into politics, as everybody knows. So... I'm just hoping that the best man or woman wins for each of those places.
So let me ask you this, though. It's October. There's always an October surprise before an election.
Well, we've had of them this week.
I mean, the synagogue shoot.
No.
They're just contrived.
There was a shooting in a synagogue.
Oh, well, that's definitely not contrived. The pipe bombs?
The pipe bombs are not contrived.
No, the madman said, hey, it's before the election. Let me drop the pipe bombs before the election.
Well, maybe, but he wasn't conspiring with anybody to do that. That might have been his own, you know.
Okay, so you think it's coincidental?
I do.
Okay.
This is a really strange place we're living in. So.
Who wins the midterms?
There'll probably be something else, mark my words, before Tuesday.
Hillary running for president? It's 2020.
She said...
She's desperate to run, though.
She doesn't want to go through the... Oh, God. That's like a Halloween. Oh. That's very appropriate for Halloween.
Could you play that again, please? Just for...
Poor Hill.
Oh, God.
No, I think she doesn't want to go through the meat grinder of the campaigning and the running, but I think if she could just be, like, ejected into the presidency, she would do that.
Okay, there's 5 million people that would want that.
No, not me.
Okay, not you, but I mean, I'm just telling you, there's people that would want that. Not me. I know you're looking
at
me.
He would. You would.
Get the hell out of here.
He would.
Could you imagine? Get the hell out of here. Okay, so
no,
let's go
I
back.
Can't.
Let's go back. Oh my God. Could you imagine? Okay, there'd be a lot of F-bombs flying from the Oval Office. People would be upset with me.
Yeah.
But Hillary's running, yes or no?
I think so.
She's running. Okay, so we said
it
here.
Well, she just seems to keep popping up everywhere.
We said it here on Mooch and the Misses.
She's currently pressing her pantsuits as we speak.
Yes, she is running. There's no question about it. She's testing the water. She's got a big donor base. She made some mistakes last time. She thinks she is the candidate to take on Donald J. Trump.
She said there's a lot of work to do because she thinks she has to fix all of his everything he messed up.
And she got 3 million more votes than him. Mm-hmm. And so she thinks she's the best candidate. And I'm telling you right now, mooching the missus, pre-Halloween.
10:30,
it's going to be scary for a lot of people. But let me tell you something. I think she's running.
All right. Well, what else? Let's see. Do we have any tweets from our...
erstwhile followers.
Our peeps? Let's see. Okay, let's see. Okay, so people want to know what we think about this whole National Candy Corn Day. I think candy corns are disgusting.
I'm in love with candy corn. Okay, this is why we're totally different.
Right?
Okay.
We are so different. It's so weird.
Totally
I
different,
can't
which is
stand.
Why you're incredibly sexually attracted to me. Let's just
oh
face,
my
let's face
God.
The music right here.
Who would want to know that?
No, people already know that. They could just tell the
oh,
element,
you're not attracted to me?
The, I'm ridiculously attracted to you, but they,
oh,
duh.
I don't know what I said. Oh,
I hope no one from
remember.
My family is listening to this.
You listen to this guy. You see, Neil fires in Trump with the whole wiggle thing that he mm-hmm. does. I mean, and
anyway.
By the way, all you liberals out there that are loving on my wife, I got to just let you know that she watched the president as a candidate. Well, I don't remember. She watched it 4,000 times.
Okay? Because I couldn't believe how insane he was acting.
Okay.
That's
I just let you know she watched it 4,000 times.
Anyway, so
what
we're
going to. What was the question?
No, that's it. I'm just saying it's National Candy Corn Day. Not a fan of candy corns, but we did have 5 million tea cakes. And now we're going to head out of here. We're going to book party for Trump, the blue collar president. And we're flying home tonight back to our family, back to our kids to celebrate Halloween tomorrow. So I hope everybody has a safe and happy Halloween. Eat lots of candy. And we'll see you back in New York next week. But in the meantime, follow us on Instagram and Twitter. Send us your comments. And if you're in Northvale, New Jersey this Saturday, come see us at Anthony's book signing.
Or book review. We're going to be at book review
on
Huntington,
Sunday.
On
Huntington, New York.
Huntington.
Or Hauntington.
Hauntington.
You know, it's Halloween weekend.
But be civil, keep it nice, and you can disagree and still
spread
love each other.
Spread the love, people.
Amen.
See you next week.
Amen. Mooch and the Misses out.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.